That was an awesome way to start service, wasn't it? And just in case you were wondering, Gary will be filling in for me the next time I'm absent or we find some time to take vacation. So, appreciate those words. Where did he go? He's snuck out. There he is. I appreciate your words, brother. So, but yeah, I could listen to more of that, couldn't you? Yeah, just straight truth. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. We read something from Jesus' teachings that is not an easy teaching. He says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies." We're in a series on love, and this is not an easy passage to read when we're talking about love. We talk about loving each other as Christians, and that can be difficult sometimes. Most of the time, it should be something that's rewarding, and we grow and support each other, and all those different things we looked at from Simon Says and 1 Peter. We talk about loving others by reaching out, serving others. Loving those who are our enemies, loving those who seek to do harm to us, loving those who or have actually done harm to us, that have evil actions from an evil attitude, from an evil decisions, from a heart that chases after evil things. And Jesus says, love those people. Love your enemies. Do good. Do good to those who hate you. This is not easy teaching. And there are some that try and say, well, you know, maybe there's some things in here. Maybe Jesus is kind of going over a little bit and maybe we just kind of bring it back to more of what he really meant. But he's very clear in this section. We're going to be breaking it down a little more as we progress. That loving your enemies is exactly what Jesus said and it's exactly what he meant. You love your enemies. You love those who cause you harm, cause you pain, cause you sorrow. You love them. And that's not easy to do. Before we dive into that, I think it's very good for us to get kind of our minds wrapped around some principles here that can help us to get ourselves in the right mindset, the right heart, the right attitude to love those who are difficult to love. So let's write this down. To love those difficult to love, we must remind ourselves that this person is made in God's own image. It's not easy to do, but that's what we need to remind ourselves of. This person that I'm standing in front of, this person that has done whatever harm or wishes to do harm or wishes, you know, malicious person, they are an image bearer of God, no matter how twisted they have become from sin and their choices. God made them, and he made them in his very own image. And that's not easy to do that. But that's going to be a key. That's going to be a foundation to being able to make these decisions and these actions that we need to make to follow Jesus' teachings about loving our enemies. To do good to those who hate us. To look at them and say that somewhere in there is the image of God. We also need to look at that person and remember that God loves them. That he loved them so much that he gave his only son. To love those difficult to love, we must remind ourselves that this person is loved by God. That even if they were the only person on earth, God would have sent his son to die for them. And we need to understand what God hopes for. And this is a bunch of filling out stuff there. But we need to be able to look at this person and understand that God hopes that this person will acknowledge him as their source of existence, as their source of salvation, as their source of purpose, and their source of redemption. God hopes that this person would come to an understanding and acknowledge that God made them, that he is their creator, that he's their savior, that he is the only way to be saved, to have eternal life. The only way to do that is through Jesus. There is no other way. If we're Bible-believing people, the Bible's very clear about that. And the Bible's also very clear that God wants everyone to come into this understanding. God wants everyone to repent. He's not slow, as some understand slowness. I believe that's in Peter. But he wants everyone, he desires everyone to repent and come into an understanding of his salvation, to be redeemed, to have purpose. Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Before we move any further into this, let's take this note. Jesus is calling for us to be in charge of our response. He's not calling for us to be unwise. This is where this teaching gets a little tricky. Is that right? Jesus is calling for us to be in charge of our response. What they've done to us, then you have a choice to respond to that. And Jesus is saying you need to be in charge of what that response looks like. You need to be in charge of what that response is. But he's not saying that we should just throw wisdom out and just be a bunch of foolish people. Wisdom goes hand in hand with our decisions no matter what we're doing. There's nothing in this teaching of Christ that commands us to return to a toxic or abusive relationship, or to give our trust out to someone who has betrayed that trust, to trust someone who has harmed us, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional harm. The goal in how we love our enemies is that God is honored by our response. And at times, that will mean putting ourselves at a distance from this person who's caused us harm. And there will be times when honoring God is actually putting yourself back in the place of being harmed. And that takes wisdom and discernment. A lot of times in the latter, it's in the case of you sharing the gospel and knowing that you're going to be persecuted for it. As you step into a situation and you're harmed, you're hurt, you're in one of the four different ways we're going to be talking about today. But you use wisdom and discernment and you say, you know what? I need to step back into that because I need to be Christ to this person. I need to be God to that person. But then there are other times when the wise thing to do is to step away from that situation. So Jesus is telling us to be in charge of our response, and our response should always be in love. But it still means we must be wise about that. You look through the book of Acts. Read through the book of Acts and see the times when either Peter or Paul and his little band of merry men step back into a situation. Paul was stoned to death. He was stoned like rocks. He was stoned to death and left for dead outside a city. He got up and he went back into the city. When he returned to Jerusalem, he knew he was going into harm's way, that his life was probably going to be short when he returned to Jerusalem at the end of Acts. But then there are other times when they left, when they moved away from the opposition so they could continue to be effective and to be healthy in sharing. All of that, it's all wisdom. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as what? Wise. Turn to your neighbor and say, be wise. Turn to your other neighbor and say, be wise. making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. There's wisdom in not returning to your abuser. If it affects your ability to make the most out of other opportunities, that fits with these passages. Make the most out of every opportunity. And if returning to an abuser or returning to a toxic relationship, that there's no chance that that's going to be productive and make the most out of that opportunity. And in fact, it's going to sometimes take away from other opportunities that you would have. Then is it wise? No. So it takes discernment. It takes a lot of discernment to know when the wise thing is to step into harm's way, because that's what God would want for the gospel to move forward. And when it's wise to step away because that situation is not a healthy situation at all. Now, many understand this section in Luke's gospel that we're camping out right here in Luke's gospel, just to let you know that that's our main passage there. Many people understand this section to be mostly geared towards evangelic efforts. And so if that's the case, then it would be appropriate to apply Jesus' instructions that he gave to his disciples when he sent them out on their first mission trip. Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent. I'm sorry. There you go. Sorry. That word was in church. I'm sorry, Karen. She has a fear of snakes. So be shrewd as, you know, those. And innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils to be flogged in the synagogues. So even here, Jesus is not sending his disciples out to mindlessly seek abuse. He warns them that it will happen. It's going to happen. But they must be wise. Be shrewd as snakes. And this is in direct connection to moving the gospel forward. And even then, there are times to be wise, shrewd as snakes. There's another part of that, another place where Jesus says, if you go into a house and you're welcome, then you stay there. If you're not welcome, what do? Shake it off? No. you shake the dust off. Wipe the dust off your feet. Be as shrewd as snakes. Be careful, be mindful, be wise. So as we look at these four examples that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 6, we kind of take all this into perspective, that when we look at someone that's difficult to love, they are made in God's image, they are loved by God, and God hopes that something will happen in their life that will reveal him to them and they will respond to that. And we also understand that when we step into these situations, or when we're in these situations, sometimes you step into a situation, sometimes it's just a situation is upon you, that we must be wise, and Jesus is calling us to be in control of our response, and our response must always be in love. And so we take all of that into consideration as we look at these four examples. Actually, right before we go into that, let's look back at verse 28. Where Jesus says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. I wanted to retouch this. I forgot about that. To bless those who curse us, to pray for those who mistreat us, you can distance yourself from a toxic relationship and still obey what God is telling you to do here. You can still bless them from a distance. You can definitely pray for them from a distance. So the understanding of distancing yourself could be seen even in those words and those instructions before he gets into these four examples. So yeah, as I said, there is some merit in understanding that this passage is about going out and sharing the gospel, evangelic. But it's also in a section that's very, very much geared around just everyday life of the disciple. So we'll kind of be looking at both sides of that as we look through these four examples, because I think that it applies to both for sure. So these four examples, we'll read all four of them at one time, and then we'll take one at a time. So Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes away what belongs to you, do not demand it back. So he says, love your enemy. And then here's four examples of what an enemy looks like. The first one he says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. This is a reference to people who insult, belittle, or devalue us. If you can think of, and I thought about this just a little bit too late, but I could add a scene from The Irishman where he just slaps. And it's just so insulting. You know, it's worse than getting punched. You slap someone and it's an insult. This could have even been connected to being kicked out of the temple in their time. But someone who slaps you, that's meant as an insult, to dishonor you, to belittle you. Turning the other cheek Turning the other cheek, actually, should be people insult, belittle, or devalue. So we should be forward a couple. There we go. People who insult, belittle, or devalue us. So that's Jesus is calling us for our response, not calling us to be unwise. People who insult, belittle, and devalue us, that turning the other cheek shows that our sense of value comes from God, not from them. That shows it to them, but it also shows it to us, doesn't it? When we turn the other cheek, we're showing my sense of value. You did nothing to me. You can try to devalue me. You can try to insult me. You can try to belittle me. But my source of value is not found in you. My source of value is found in God. And that gives us the strength to be able to turn our other cheek. Now, Jesus doesn't say, stay there and keep getting whacked. You turn the other cheek. You show this response in love. And then if you need to step away, if that's the wise thing to do, then you do so. If the wise thing to do is to stay there, then you stay there. It takes that wisdom, that discernment involved in that. But your response, your choice to respond is going to be a choice to respond in love. And that love is turning the other cheek, not retaliating, not slapping them back. If they call you a name, not calling them a name back. I believe somewhere in the Bible it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? There are some of my enemies where I'm like, I'm glad God said that because his vengeance is going to be so much more than what mine ever could be. But his vengeance is also justified. So whatever he chooses to act in mercy or act in wrath, that's up to him, but he's called us to act in mercy. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them also. So this is a reference to people who take advantage of us. Take advantage of us. If they take your coat, then what do? You give them your shirt also. So what this is saying is that we will find ourselves and we will put ourselves in vulnerable situations while reaching out to others. That's the way it's going to be. And we can even pull while reaching out to others. We're just going to find ourselves in vulnerable situations sometimes. When we're looking at this, that extension of that note was more geared towards when we're sharing the gospel, when we're moving the gospel forward, when we're out there and we're trying to share God's promise of new life, of eternal life with others. You're going to find yourself in situations, or you're going to put yourself in situations where you're going to be vulnerable. And people are going to take advantage of that. That's part of love. That's part of acting in love. And it's not a comfortable thing. And once again, there's some wisdom in that. You know, he doesn't say, give me your coat, give me your shirt, give me your pants, give me your shoes. You don't let them just strip you down totally. Now, I went from physically then to emotionally or mentally, spiritually. You respond in love, and then you do the wise thing, whatever the wise thing next to do would be. But we shouldn't be shocked that we're going to get taken advantage of when we love people. That's what's going to happen sometimes. It's going to happen. You're going to be in a situation where you're going to be vulnerable and someone's going to take advantage of you. You're going to put yourself in a situation, either through your own actions where you're like, oh, how did I get here? Or specifically because I'm going to be active for the gospel and I know it's going to put me in harm's way and I know I'm going to be vulnerable. And then when someone takes advantage of you, it's par for the course. Doesn't mean we enjoy it. Doesn't mean it hurts less. But it means we've understood this is what love means. Love is going to mean getting taken advantage of sometimes. And so we have to take the right attitude. I went off notes. There's probably some good stuff here, but did they take advantage of Christ? Oh, that's tough. He didn't let them take advantage of him. Why? Because he gave himself. He was in charge. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. See how that changes? So when you put yourself in a place where you know I'm vulnerable, there's a possibility I'm going to get taken advantage of. There's a difference between being taken advantage of. There's a difference between being a victim and sacrificing. We want to sacrifice. That's proactive. That means you've made the decision to love. And sometimes that means it's going to feel like you've been taken advantage of. So we're in charge of how we respond. We must be wise about that. So Jesus says, give to everyone who asks of you. So this note, all right, we'll write this down and then I'll unpack this just a little bit. So this refers to people exploiting your generosity. You're like, wait a minute, that just says give to everyone who asks you. The context of these four examples are directly connected to, and it's right before it and it's right afterwards, love your enemy. If someone is genuinely in need, they're not my enemy. They're genuinely in need. But I've known of many times when there have been people that are not genuinely in need and they are taking advantage of someone's generosity. Even so, what's the action in love we do? We give. We give to honor God. And if people are really in need, then we fill that need. And if they're not in need, that's on them. So write this down. In any situation, give to honor God. When we give generously, if it's giving our tithes and offerings, if it's giving to a missionary, or if it's giving to a ministry, if it's giving to someone in need, if it's giving to a stranger in need, if it's giving to someone that we know very well in need, any of those situations, you are giving first and foremost to honor God, correct? That's not going to change. If they're an enemy who is disingenuous, or if they truly are in need. You know, if you're the type to give whenever you feel your heartstrings tugged, then according to this verse, that is God-honoring behavior. And you can't outgive God. And I can't argue with someone that gives like that. I believe God is honored, and God's going to take care of them for giving to honor God with a heart that reaches out. Even if they're not truly in need and they're taking you for a ride, they're a scam artist. I'm both generous and frugal. I take that snake verse in this area as well. Just in because I've seen a lot of things as working at a church, you see a lot of people that like to throw in the things. And I described a story to you last week of how I checked those out. And my son was like, tell me some more of those stories about how you found them out or different things. And so, but in those situations, my decision is to love. I'm just going to be a little more careful about responding. So I think both ways of going about it are honoring to God. In my heart, I've decided to give, and I want to make sure that it's a real need. I want to be a good steward of what God has given me. And so I believe that you can be on either side of the fence there, and if you're still seeking to honor God, where if you're trying to be a good steward and you're seeking to honor God with the materials that he has given to you, or if you're giving because your heartstrings were tugged and you're wanting to honor God by giving to someone, even if they might be disingenuous, I think both of those are still, both fall into that category of honoring God when we give. Fourth one, if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. People who take things from us. Very simple application to number four. People who take things from us. Anytime you loan money, it's probably a good idea inside your own head to not consider it a loan. You're just giving it to them. If they pay it back, it's a bonus. Now, you might not want to tell them that, but because then you're probably not going to get it back. But, you know, if you loan someone money in your own head, just file that away as, I just gave $1,000 to this person. And if someday they show up on your doorstep and pay you back $1,000, then bonus. And it isn't always material things that people take away from us, is it? People take away from us our dignity. People take away from us our rights. I've heard a lot about that. Masks. Our freedoms. People can try to take away your peace or your joy. Sometimes they're successful. Our emotional or our mental energy. If anyone takes something that belongs to you, what are you supposed to do? Don't demand for it back. So we're going to go on full out frozen here. Let it go. Just let it go. That's the wisdom here. Someone takes something that belongs to you, then you let it go, and that's forgiveness. Because that thing is not always material. Sometimes that's something deeper and something that hurts more when someone who is acting with evil actions, they take away your dignity. They take away your safety, your peace. These untangibles. You let it go. You forgive. Forgiveness is releasing someone from a debt that they're probably not going to pay anyway. You've taken this from me, and forgiveness says, I don't expect you to pay it back. You're free from that debt. And forgiveness doesn't only free the person who wronged you, it frees you. It frees you when you forgive someone. When you're holding on to a grudge, when you're holding on to bitterness, you've created your own prison. But you give forgiveness. If someone's taken something from you, you don't demand it back. That's forgiveness. Luke continues in verse 31. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's where we read the golden rule. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High God, because he is kind to the grateful and the wicked, to the ungrateful and the wicked. And I did not grab the very end of that passage. Yes. Verse 35. Yeah. Verse 36. I missed grabbing that for my notes here and for the PowerPoint. He says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. It's kind of a key little tie all together in, so I didn't want to miss that. Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. You know, Jesus told a story about the end of times and that God will gather people before him just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. He'll tell the sheep, hey, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in jail, you came to visit me. When I was sick, you took care of me. And they're going to say to him, they're going to say, when did we see you in these different conditions and do these things to you? And Jesus says, what you did for the least of these, you did for me. And then he'll turn to those on his left, the goats, and say, depart from me, you wicked people. Because I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was sick, I was in jail, and you didn't come to visit me. I was without clothes and you gave me nothing to wear. And they will answer also the same way the righteous answered. And they will answer, when did we see you? Sick or in prison or without clothes or hungry or thirsty. And Jesus will tell them, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And so he sends the righteous on to eternal life and the wicked to eternal fire. It's a big deal to Jesus. The sheep and the goats. It doesn't say that they liked the people, does it? They had a need. They were thirsty. They were hungry. So when we are loving other people, and even people that are difficult to love, we're still called to act out in love. And if there's a need, to fill it. If there's a way that we can influence someone to step into their life, then it's as if we're doing that to Jesus. And that's very difficult to look at that and say, well, if I'm loving my enemy, that, I believe, would be categorized as some of the least of these. People who are acting out in evil and hurting and malicious. If I'm helping and reaching out to the least of these, then maybe if we think this is service to Christ, even though this person has caused harm to me, and I can make an eternal difference possibly by doing this. Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Our love should always be based on an eternal perspective rather than a temporary one. Eternal perspective. We all have to answer for how we have behaved here on earth. I do not want to get to heaven and hear the response that Jesus gave to the goats. I hope and pray that I'm a sheep and I would be found on the right, because I've loved the least of these, even if the least of these are my enemies, even if the least of these are people who have harmed me, hurt me. Love is the greatest of all of these, and we're called to love our enemies. Tough teaching today, but a teaching that I think can relate to all of us. We've all had enemies. We've all had people who have hurt us. So be wise. Choose to respond in love. and love your enemies. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the example that you gave to us through your son, Jesus, who loved his enemies. He loved us even when we were your enemy. So I'm very thankful personally that he loved his enemies because I was one of those. Father, I pray that you'd help us. This is not an easy subject today. It brings up a lot of hurt. It stirs a lot of memories. Things that a lot of us maybe have done a good job in pushing aside, forgetting, or distancing ourselves from it. And a subject like today brings those up. So, Father, I ask that you would be with everyone here, that you would comfort them, that you would guide them, that you would give them wisdom in all these different situations that they have. We have, unfortunately, a number of people around us that harm us, sometimes accidentally, sometimes maliciously. Help us to have the correct response, Father. Help us to respond in love no matter what. And to take the wisdom of these four examples that Jesus gave and to apply them to our life as we seek to honor you by loving those who hurt us. Father, I pray in the situations that are represented in this room, if those situations are places where you've called us to step into a dangerous situation for the cause of the gospel, that you would give strength, that you would encourage, and Father, that would result in a breakthrough, and that those people or that person that is being shared with would see you. We pray that today. That the suffering of the righteous would not be in vain. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.